You probably, many of you are familiar with Jack Canfield. He is the co-author of the whole thousands of Chicken Soup for the Soul books. In fact, I had one the other day I found that was Chicken Soup for the Pet Lover's Soul. Just about for every soul possible. But Jack Canfield and his wife were visiting in Bangkok, and they toured the most famous Buddhist temples. And they said they were most impressed with the Temple of the Golden Buddha. When they walked in, they said it was not an impressive temple. It was only like 30 feet by 30 feet. But what they were stunned by was this amazing 10.5 foot high solid gold Buddha. Now, I had a couple in the first service who said they were in Bangkok and they saw that Buddha. It stands 10.5 feet high. It weighs about 2.5 tons, and it's solid gold, and it's valued at about $196 million. And next to the golden Buddha is a glass case that has this piece of clay in it. It's about 8 inches thick and about 12 inches wide, and next to that is a piece of paper that tells the history of this magnificent Buddha. And it appeared that back in 1957, the monks from the monastery where the temple was and this golden Buddha resided had to relocate because there was a major highway going through Bangkok. And so a crane came in and began to lift the clay Buddha. And it began to crack. And it started raining, and the head monk was concerned that it would damage the Buddha further, and so he had it lowered back down, threw a tarp over it. Later in the night, he went to check on the Buddha. He lifted the tarp, he shined his light where the crack had started, and he realized that something was shining back at him. And so he went and got a hammer and a chisel and started working on the clay. And within 2 hours, he stood face to face with the solid gold Buddha. And what the story goes on to say, it's in one of the Chicken Soup for the Souls, but Jack Canfield describes that what historians believe happened is that knowing their country, Thailand, would be invaded by the Burmese army, the monks had covered their precious golden Buddha with an outer covering 8 inches thick of clay in order to keep the treasure from being looted by the Burmese. Unfortunately, though, all the monks were killed in the invasion, and the well-kept secret of the golden Buddha remained intact for several hundred years until that fateful day in 1957. And as Jack and his wife were flying back to the United States, he wrote this in his book. He said, "I began to think we are all like that clay Buddha, covered with a shell of hardness created out of fear. And yet underneath each one of us is a golden Buddha, a golden Christ, a golden essence, which is our real self. And somewhere along the way, we begin to cover up our golden essence, our natural self. Much like the monk with the hammer and the chisel, our task now is to discover our true essence once again." And so the story made me think, how much do we miss because it's covered up by an outer covering of some sort? You know, deep within us, there is this golden essence. There is a Christ or a Buddha nature, the Christ presence. Whatever you call it, it's there. It's there. You have to look deep enough to find it. And intuitively, we know it's there, don't we? Because it's that place we go to in prayer. It's that place that we go to when we are seeking guidance. And when we can still ourselves enough, you know, we will connect with its essence, its power, its guidance. And when we can be quiet enough, we will begin to hear its still small voice. But the outer world has done a real good job of surrounding us with noise, surround sound. Right? All around us, the craziness and busyness, the striving for more, the never being satisfied with what we have. It's always bigger, better, newer. But eventually what happens is that we begin to lose touch with the golden essence that lies within us. But we do have a great reminder. Look into the eyes of a newborn baby. You know, that baby is pure and loving and joyful and happy and innocent. You know, babies truly know who they are. They have that knowing. And they help each one of us to remember what we've forgotten. It's a great story about a little kid. He's about 3 or 4 years old. And he has his brand new baby brother. And he begs his parents to please leave him alone with his baby brother. And the parents are concerned. Why does he want to be alone with his new brother? But they agree and they leave him in the room with the baby. And they, of course, step outside but keep the door cracked so they can look in. And this little guy, he runs over to the bassinet. He leans over and he says to his new baby brother, he says, "Quickly, tell me about God. I'm beginning to forget. And isn't that what happens to each one of us? You know, and as children, we're told to sit in chairs and sit in straight rows and be quiet. We're taught that 2 + 2 = 4 and that Paris is the capital of France. But have we ever been taught how magnificent and fabulous we truly are? Now, were you ever taught how absolutely phenomenal you are? You know, because you are. You're whole and holy, loving, unrepeatable, gorgeous, fabulous, unique, you know, magnificent, wonderful, radiant. You're all of that and so much more. But have we ever been taught that? But as adults, what happens is that we keep ourselves small through our negative and limited thinking. You know, I can't do this, I can't do that, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not rich enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not fill-in-the-blank enough. But what happens is that life mirrors back to you your thoughts. And so we have this wonderful opportunity that we're entering into starting on Wednesday. Traditionally, it's known as Ash Wednesday. It's the beginning of a 40-day period of transformation. It's called Lent. It's the 40 days leading up to Easter, leading up to that resurrection experience. It's a preparation time to have that phenomenal resurrection experience into our new self. It's a time that we have this remarkable opportunity to discover, or I like to call rediscover, you know, our true golden essence, the Christ presence within us. Now, 40 in the Bible, it's metaphysically represents the time that it takes to accomplish something. That's all it. That's what it means. 40 means the time it takes to complete something. It's not an actual period of time, because have you ever noticed and wondered why there are so many 40s in the Bible? 40 years, 40 days. 40 nights. It's a metaphor for a time of completion. And so we have this 40-day period, again, symbolic of the time that it takes to complete a transformation, to complete a change of consciousness. And so this transformation, this consciousness, this change in consciousness always precedes a resurrection experience. And I had a teacher in school once who said, "Whenever you're having a crucifixion experience, hang around because you know that resurrection is right around the corner." It's part of the process. It's part of the transformational process. Now, traditionally, the 40 days of Lent means that you give something up, right? And actually, it's giving up your absolutely favorite thing, you know, which always seemed like a punishment to me. It never really quite made a whole lot of sense. And when I grew up, I was raised Catholic. And so as a good Catholic girl, I, every Lent, had to declare what I was giving up. And like most people, little kids at that time, you know, our absolutely favorite thing was chocolate. So I would give up chocolate. And I wonder if that's why there's so much chocolate on Easter Sunday, because of all the kids that were giving it up for Lent. But I will confess, I never made it through the 40 days. Did you? I mean, those of you who observed Lent, did you ever make it through the 40 days? No. So I felt guilty, and I thought, Lent is a setup. It's a no-win situation. You can't win. You give up your absolutely favorite thing. Why would you give up your absolutely favorite thing? It made no sense to me. It didn't seem like the life-affirming, positive experience that it was meant to be. Charles Fillmore, our co-founder of Unity, in his book, Keep a True Lent, wrote that Lent is a season of spiritual growth, a time for progressive unfoldment. And so with Lent being a season for spiritual growth, Lent can happen any time. This Easter Lent period is not anything magical. It happens any time that it precedes a spiritual unfoldment. It's that preparation time for that change in consciousness. So Lent is a season of spiritual growth. It's a time for progressive unfoldment. He goes on to say, when we can blend and merge our mind with God mind, the way is open to lift us into a higher, purer, more spiritual state. So during this Lent time, we have this magnificent opportunity to really allow the God to come forth through us and to allow and really focus the power of God within us on those behaviors that we really, we don't really need anymore, that really aren't supporting us as a spiritual being. And so what we can do, rather, is focus on what we do want, how we would like to be. And when we focus on that, we'll be able to bring that into our experience, because what we know is that it takes at least 21 days to form a new habit. So here you get to create two new habits. You got 40, well, a couple of extra days, but yeah, need to say if you start today, you'll have the 42 days, and you'll be able to do two habits. But when we focus on what it is we do want, then that will be brought into our experience. And if you do this on just Sundays, that's fine. You'll get motivated and you'll feel good when you leave. But when you leave, you leave, and in a few days, you'll probably totally forget what I've said here on Sunday. And so I really encourage you to keep a spiritual practice going. Do something. If you want a spiritual transformation, then you need to do the work and the preparation to move you into that spiritual unfoldment and that new way of being. And so, make a commitment for the next 40 days to get up every day and read your daily word if you're not doing that now. Or make a commitment that you're going to read that book that's been on the shelf that you've wanted to read, that spiritual book. Have it to be a spiritual theme. And maybe read a couple paragraphs or a chapter a day. Or those of you who love reading your Bible, choose to maybe say, I'm going to read the Gospel of John through this period. And every day read a little bit. Or you can... Silent Unity offers this wonderful, they sometimes call it preparation for Easter, but this is Let Go and Let God, Lent 2011. And it's like a daily word for the Lent season. It starts Ash Wednesday and goes through Easter Sunday. And you can download this at unity.org. If you haven't been on Unity's website, you can go to prayer, and there's a whole bunch of stuff on prayer you can download and publication. There's little booklets you can download. You can also call Silent Unity 1-800-NOW-PRAY. It's not a hard number to remember. It's in your bulletin, and it's in the Daily Word, and they'll mail you a copy if you want your, a bound copy. But it's a wonderful little, kind of guidebook. Make a commitment if you're not doing your 64 daily practices for the season for peace and nonviolence. Recommit to making sure you're doing those every day. But do some kind of spiritual practice, because when you keep on keeping on, then when you get to Easter, when you move through that 40-day period, you will get to Easter and you will have a resurrection experience, and it will be glorious. And what Lent does is it's a very powerful time to do your inner house cleaning. And Unity looks at Lent very differently. And I love what our co-founder Charles Fillmore said about Lent. He took the word L-E-N-T and he created an acronym. And he said it's Let's Eliminate Negative Thinking. Don't you love that? Let's get rid of what we don't want. Why give up what we do want, what we love the most? Let's get rid of what we don't want. Let's eliminate that negative thinking. That makes so much more sense, doesn't it? You know, and Charles Fillmore urged us to really observe Lent according to the spirit of it. You know, let go of those old, worn-out attitudes and ideas and thoughts. You know, just let them go. You know, let go of criticism and condemnation and see only love. You know, get rid of those old beliefs in sickness and weakness and see only God's perfect life. You know, let go of those thoughts of lack and limitation. See how much you truly do have. See God's incredible abundance. Marianne Williamson, in her book, The Gift of Change, Spiritual Guidance for a Radically New Life, she writes, if we think good about the world, then we're liable to see it. If we think bad, we're liable to see that too. We achieve so little because we have undisciplined minds. We allow ourselves to wander too easily into negative thoughts and negative words. And from both come negative experiences. Our smallest judgment adds to war, and our smallest forgiveness adds to peace. Miracles affect situations we will never even know about, and I love this part. The butterfly's wings in South Africa affect wind patterns at the North Pole, and thoughts of peace in Idaho affect plans for peace in Palestine. What an extraordinary opportunity, as well as responsibility, we have to try to get it right. Our capacity to change our minds is the greatest gift that God has given us, and it is also the most powerful. So our capacity to change our minds is the greatest gift that God has given us, and it is the most powerful. There was a young student who was on crutches. He had won many, many scholastical honors, and he was very well respected by his classmates. But one day, one of his classmates said, you know, what caused your deformity? And he said, infantile paralysis. To which the classmate responded, oh, with such a hardship. How can you ever face the world? Hello. How can you ever face the world? And this young man said, oh, but the disease never touched my heart. The disease never touched my heart. So we have incredible, extraordinary opportunities right now to try to get it right. And it doesn't... It's not what's in the outside. It's what's in within you. It's in what's in the inside that really makes the difference. And we have amazing power within us to transform not only our own lives, but we have the power within us to help others transform their lives through carefully choosing our thoughts and our words and carefully choosing our actions and our reactions. And so as we give up negative thinking, you know, as we begin to let go of what is no longer working for us, we are given an amazing opportunity to choose again what we're thinking and how we're going to act. And when we can see the world with new eyes, then we'll begin to have a positive, uplifting outlook on life, and then life will mirror that back to us. People will not only see it, but people will feel it. And your life will improve. Now, can this happen in 40 days? You bet it can. It absolutely can. It can happen when you avoid what it is you want to eliminate from your life and really concentrate on what it is you want more of. Eliminate the negative and look for the positive in every situation. Eliminate the negative. And look for the positive in every situation. Try it for 40 days. Just give it a try. You just may like it. It may transform your life in such a way that you'll say, oh, why didn't I do this before? So I'd like to end today with an excerpt from The Rules for Being Human. Rule number one for being human is you will receive a body. You're going to receive a body. Like it or hate it, it will be yours for the entire period of this time around. Second rule for being human, you will learn lessons. You will learn lessons. You are enrolled in a full-time school called life. Each day in this school, you will have the opportunity to learn lessons. You may like the lessons, or you may think they're irrelevant and stupid. But you will learn lessons. Third rule for being human is there are no mistakes, only lessons. Growth is the process of trial and error. It's experimentation. We're in this laboratory called life, and we're experimenting. The failed experiments are as much a part of the process as the experiment that ultimately works. So there are no mistakes, just lessons. Fourth rule for being human is your answers lie inside of you. Your answers are within you. The answers to life's questions, they lie within you. So all you needed to do is to look, listen, and trust. Fifth rule for being human is what you make of your life is up to you. You've got the tools. You've got the resources. You've got everything you need. What you do with them is up to you. It's up to you. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. And so, this is a wonderful time of Lent, and I encourage you to use this time to spiritually prepare yourself for the amazing, incredible resurrection experience that comes at Easter. Have a great time. It's going to be glorious. God bless.